Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
And now, Rick Ballew takes you into the night on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Matt, great to have you back with us. Another really big week around these parts. My goodness, the weather is absolutely outstanding. Are you kidding me? How great was this weekend? Maybe if you had a chance to get out early and play some golf, as I did on Friday and Saturday. I was going to play yesterday, but I figured on that day I'd just sit back and rest and enjoy everything that took place in the world of sports. Of course, the NCAA tournament. I enjoyed the golf down in Valspar over at the Snake Pit. No, by the way, I know it's not going to be discussed all that much the week after the Players, because I think everyone thoroughly enjoyed the Players' Championship 2019, and I hopped on board, although I am a guy that would rather have the event in May. To see Paul Casey win it in back-to-back years but get it done at 8-under, and then I was crunching numbers yesterday, and I went back to the week prior when I was actually alongside David Lamb doing live coverage both Saturday and Sunday from over there at the Players. Do you realize that if Paul Casey shot an 8-under here at the Players 7 days prior to that, it would have been good for tied for 22nd place? You know, I don't want to dig up old wounds. I think everyone's happy right now. But again, I mean, has Sawgrass turned into the freaking John Deere Classic? I mean, come on. This is the Players event. This is supposed to be one of the toughest golf courses there is. And guys were just pin hunting, going right after the flag. And they go right next door a week after. And again, the winner of this event would have been tied for 22nd place here. Got to fix that. Just my opinion, okay? Got to fix it. Got to grow the rough. Got to make that golf course a little bit more difficult in the future. They get a mulligan this year because they went from May to March. But this event has to be more difficult, in my opinion. All right, I'll leave that alone as far as golf. We got much more to get into today, including the National Football League. The owners' meetings are underway. Albert Breer is going to join us here momentarily. He's been sending out some very interesting tweets from Arizona. For starters, the NFL announced in its 100th year, it'll be the 199th meeting of all time between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. That is your opening night matchup. For a second consecutive year, the Super Bowl winner will not host. That, of course, is New England Patriots. Instead, they are on, I believe it's Sunday night, is when the Patriots, yes, they have not announced who the Patriots' opponent is going to be. I talked with Tad Dickman a little bit earlier today. Of course, he is everything that you could possibly want when it comes to his knowledge of the Jaguars. Does a great job with public relations and handles Doug Marrone and everything else. Went back and forth with Tad today because I had just forgotten. But it is mid-April, so this being the 25th day, we're probably 2.5, maybe 3 weeks away from knowing when the scheduled dates will in fact be in order. Of course, every team, including right here in Jacksonville, you're aware of who your opponents are. You just don't know the dates, and we're about 3 weeks away from learning about that. But it's busy right now around the NFL. A lot of Bob Kraft rumors circulating. I mean, everything from he's going to turn the ownership over to his son to he's going to accept his punishment. The Gronk rumors, which, oh, by the way, is tonight's Exit Real Estate Gallery question of the night. We'll get there momentarily. You really believe he's walking away for good? Wrestling's tonight in Boston. That's an hour away. Why do I believe there's a Gronk appearance tonight there? Quick paycheck for Gronk. What is that? That's a big six-digit paycheck. What do you think Vince McMahon strokes him tonight? $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, something crazy like that. Come on out tonight. Get in a little bit of mischief. WrestleMania's right around the corner. It's going to be very interesting. I think a lot of people believe that Gronk comes back, that this really is not goodbye for good. So we'll dive into that. And, of course, Albert Breer wrote a fantastic piece last week on Doug Marrone. Had a long conversation with Doug. And, you know, I don't think that he really took us to places that we hadn't already been when we met with Doug when Nick Foles was introduced. But still, just to get it from a national perspective, a guy who covers all 32 teams and has known Doug Marrone and has known some other interesting equations and some parts. If you read that article on Monday Morning Quarterback, it was pretty interesting. Some good stuff. And again, that came out last week. But Albert Breer is going to join us from Phoenix to discuss that. And, of course, everything that's going on right now as far as rule changes. This absurd onside kick rule that they're discussing. Apparently, there's a little bit, finally now, of some pushback involved with the whole eye in the sky that we talked about last week, where the NFL Competition Committee, which does include Sean Payton, didn't want anything changed whatsoever. The owners today, apparently, have a different mindset. So we'll get that from Albert Breer. Again, that's coming up in about 10 minutes. We're going to do that as we get things rolling right here on a Monday edition of Into the Night with Rick Belew. So a lot of football tonight as well as basketball. LeVay, how's your bracket look as we head to games coming up on Thursday and Friday? How you doing, young man?
Rick, my bracket's looking really good. I've got 14 of the 16 Sweet 16 teams at the moment, so it's looking pretty well.
I absolutely crushed the left side. If you look at the East and the West, I have all eight teams remaining making their way to the Sweet 16. You go to the right side, and, well, that's really where the problem exists for me. Deep South, I hit three of the four. I got Virginia, Purdue, and Tennessee. My problem is in the Midwest, where I only have two of the four. But the big blemish for me is choosing Iowa State. And I have Iowa State going all the way to the Final Four. Of course, they were knocked out by Ohio State on Friday night. Tried to do something a little bit differently this year, and it cost me. Overall, I got 13 of the 16 teams remaining. So right now, the bracket looks pretty good. And if you have 13 to 16, fine. But I have Duke, Texas Tech, Virginia, and Iowa State. So I'm already one down once you get to the Final Four. Of course, Florida State will play here Thursday night at 7:09. They'll take on Gonzaga, a team they beat a year ago. They're going to have to turn around and take them on now. They're a 7-point underdog. Bob Sura, one of the great Seminoles of all time, is going to join us to talk about that. That'll be at 7:40 tonight. So in this very first hour, we are going to be extremely busy. Both Bob Sura at 7:40, the former Florida State All-American, and we're going to get things rolling tonight as we steamroll with Albert Breer, who is in the Boston market. Works for the Sports Hub there, but does great work as well with Monday Morning Quarterback, and he is in Phoenix for the owners' meeting. So we have all of that to do as we get things rolling right here on a Monday edition. What a great week around these parts. Tomorrow night, you got Florida State, Florida in baseball. I was told that over the weekend. I was golfing with a couple of buddies. They were all Noles. We played a good round of golf, and then we went and watched both the Gators game and the Seminoles game. So it ended up being a phenomenal Saturday. And I was aware that Florida's really had their way with Florida State as of late in baseball. I know that they had won 9 in a row. But 22 of 23? Is that accurate? I mean, that is an absolute colossal embarrassment if that is the case. People do not take 22 of 23 in the sport of baseball, period. It does not happen. It'll happen in college football when you face one another once a year. If you're a better program, that's going to happen. But something like this doesn't in sports like basketball, and certainly not baseball. 22 of 23. I knew I needed to do some homework before the show today, and I just completely forgot. That would have taken exhaustive research in order for me to go back and do something along those lines. Maybe one of you out there can and send me some info on that. I'll be honest with you. I'm already a little bit
taxed here. These two-hour work Mondays really do get to me. But 22-23, what a way for Mike Martin to end. I mean, you've got to silence that. Florida State has to win that game next week here in town, and I think they're in Tallahassee. Is it either next Tuesday or the Tuesday after the fact? If it's not next week, it's the week after. That just can't happen. And I know that college baseball doesn't hit to a large portion of our audience. I get that, and I understand it. Although every year at the baseball grounds, it's a packed house. And I used to love going to that game. I thought conveniently the last couple of years I've kind of skipped. Kind of falls in one of those categories of why show up if you know your team's going to lose? And I think I've fallen into that category. I've had a lot of people say, are you going tomorrow night? You going tomorrow night? I'm like, no, the shows will be out there, you know, but I'm not going to actually go out there. I'll be back here in the studio, and I'm fine with that. I don't need to be out there, but I mean, 22 of 23? Come on, Mike Martin. Find your way through that. I don't want to hear about weekend starters on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I mean, you just cannot end your career losing two more to Florida, losing 11 straight, and that would end up being what? 24 of 25. What a sad way to go down as the winningest coach in the history of college baseball and one of the most decorated coaches in the history of college baseball. I know this. Once I got there, all through the years, Florida State always held the upper hand against Florida. We're talking some very good Florida baseball teams, but Florida State was the better program. Florida State bowed to Miami at times, but Florida State seemed to have it over the Gators. Boy, has that ever changed as of late. So many folks around here will be enjoying that ball game. Coming up tomorrow night. All right, also this week, opening day of Major League Baseball, except for those who weren't aware of the fact, they actually already kind of have done it out in Japan, which I'm sorry, but that's a joke. The fact that you already have two Major League games that have already been played, and my guess is that maybe 1% of our listening audience is actually aware of it, is the worst possible way that baseball could start the 2019 season. Seattle's 2-0, Oakland's 0-2. Honestly, ask yourself that question driving around right now. How many people actually know that? It's bizarre. Why do they keep making these changes? Rebuild Riverfront Stadium, and I want a nooner between the Reds and whoever. That is how baseball is supposed to be on opening day. That's coming up on Thursday. How great is that going to be here Thursday? I'll have the world champion Red Sox on one screen at 7 o'clock in Seattle. And then, of course, the Noles taking on the Zags at 7:09 on Thursday night as well. That's coming up, though, in a couple of evenings. Right now, let's take care of the very latest. We'll go to Phoenix. We'll check in with our good friend Albert Breer. He will give us the very latest on what's going on with the owners' meetings, plus a sensational piece he wrote on Doug Marrone. We'll get things started with that, plus Bob Sura joining us at 7:40. Glad you're around. This is Into the Night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we're in search of Albert Breer. I know he's busy in Phoenix, but we will get him at some point. Into the Night with Rick Ballew, lots to do right here on this Monday. A lot of NCAA college basketball coming up, including Bob Sura. That is scheduled for 7:40, but I do want to talk the NFL. Rob Gronkowski has called it a career, and he will get out before the age of 30. Nine phenomenal years for Rob Gronkowski. I, for one, am surprised. I thought he would give it one more year. I'm not sure what your opinion is. We have created tonight's question of the night on Rob Gronkowski. It's brought to you by Exit Real Estate Gallery. With the announcement of Gronkowski's retirement, where do you see him 6 months from now? Joining the WWE. And tonight they're in Boston. I'm laying tape. I'll get it late night, if not tonight, tomorrow. Return to the NFL. You look at his agent. And, you know, what was said earlier today, basically about Rob Gronkowski retiring. But if you listen to Drew Rosenhaus, he made it seem as though the opportunity for him to come back is very much still there. There was a lot of talk today coming out of Boston that Drew Rosenhaus had put together a type of proposal for the New England Patriots that would have held Gronkowski out of everything during the offseason. You know, teams will begin to, you know, convene on the 15th of April. The offseason, you know, the OTAs will take place then. So that's 20 days away. Every team is going to begin to bring players back in throughout their building. You'll have the OTAs. You'll have the rookie mini camp right after the draft. The NFL draft is 31 days away. You'll have the regular mini camp. And then, of course, you'll have training camp in August. Well, there was a conversation about a proposal that had been written by Drew Rosenhaus and the New England Patriots that would say he would stay away during these months and not even fully take part of practice during the month of August. And according to what I read, including Pro Football Talk, is that, believe it or not, the Patriots were actually on board for this. But Gronkowski said he was at peace with his decision, and he has announced that he is retiring. As great as Gronkowski is, I just find that somewhat hard to believe that Patriots Nation would allow separate rules for separate players. Now, the greatest of all greats have done that, including Bill Parcells back with Lawrence Taylor. But I just would have wanted to see that. Something that has been posted and written. I know it's made its way, but I still have a difficult time actually swallowing that. I'd like to see it first rather than just be told that that was actually going to take place. But nonetheless, now that Rob Gronkowski has announced his retirement, what do you think he's going to do? Join the WWE, return to the NFL, be a broadcaster in some fashion, whether he is an NFL game day analyst, whether he's a podcaster, and, you know, maybe something where he can take some liberties and be off the wall a little bit, perhaps on, let's say, Barstool or on Sirius satellite radio, or become what I would term an awful B actor. Where is he going to go? Because he's not going to go away. He's a very marketable guy. I think people really like Rob Gronkowski. There's something about him that even though he's an enormous human being, he's a likable person. Even here in Jacksonville, where I understand there is hatred for the New England Patriots, I never really have gotten from you that you hate Rob Gronkowski. He's kind of like the exception to the rule, and he is going to have some opportunities. So feel free to let us know. Call in 641-1010 or you can go to our Twitter feed tonight. That's Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. We've had it up for just about 25 minutes. And right now we already have 82 votes with the WWE holding command here at 44%, the very latest as far as to where will Rob Gronkowski end up. All right, Bob Serta will join me in just a couple of minutes. I covered Bobby for years. We went to Florida State around those same times. And this is the best Florida State team that Leonard Hamilton has put together now in consecutive years since Bobby Serra was part of that three-guard offense with Sammy Cassell and Charlie Ward. Right now, though, let's go to Phoenix. Let's bring in Albert Breer, who we're lucky enough to get on quite a bit around here. He's with the Monday Morning Quarterback, also on 98.5, the Sports Hub out of Boston, and he joins Rick Ballou. Albert, how you been?
I'm good. How you doing, Rick?
We're doing real good. I know you're busy. I appreciate a few minutes. First things first, the latest now on the owners' meetings, that whole eye in the sky. I know the NFL Competition Committee last week wasn't in favor of this at all, but are you saying now that this is beginning to pick up some traction going the other way?
I don't think it'll be this year. I mean, maybe it will. Who knows? I've been surprised in the past. But I do think, I can tell you this, that the coaches very much want there to be some use of the sort of technology that we have to provide oversight to the officials. And they feel like they're helping the officials here, Rick. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, and I think the easy way to look at it is you or I could be sitting on our couch and we'll have the benefit of 10 different angles, all in high definition, We'll be able to see absolutely everything that happens. And that technology is available to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not available to the officials, which, I mean, to me, doesn't quite line up, you know. And so over the weekend, I texted pretty much every head coach in the league and asked them a simple question, took the poll. And I got 19 responses back, and 15 guys were in favor of a sky judge. Two were not, and then two said they needed more information. That's a pretty overwhelming majority. So, you know, I think the coach's real concern here, I don't know, there's other stuff that they're probably not as concerned about that other people have to be concerned about, like length of game, the flow, all that different stuff. The coaches are really concerned with getting it right.
Yeah.
Getting as many of the calls right as they possibly can. And, you know, I think a sky judge would be a positive step in that direction. I think it's unlikely it happens this year. I would not be surprised if we see it in the near future, though. I think what's left, or what's going to be left coming out of this meeting, is probably figuring out exactly how it would work, and they're going to have time to do that if they don't put the thing through here.
Yeah, why not this year, in your opinion? And if we go back to the Super Bowl, I mean, it appeared that Roger Goodell, with his State of the Union address, you know, looked to me like he had been told that there's no way this is going to work this year.
Because they're slow with everything. I mean, I don't know why they can't put it through this year. I'll be honest with you. What I know they would tell you is that, you know, there's just a lot of complications that they would have to work through, and you know, all the unintended consequences and that different stuff. But I honestly brought this up to somebody earlier today. Like, I don't know why we couldn't put it in experimentally in the preseason, and then maybe have some sort of vote on how they want to go forward at the end of the preseason. You know, I know that'd be a little unconventional, but I think that would be a nice middle ground. Like, here's something we can do, and, you know, you don't have to have every one of the rules set right before, you know, months ahead of the season. This is important enough to the coaches who, you know, have real skin in this game. You know, they, mm-hmm. they're the ones who are going to get hired and fired based on what happens out in that field. You know, it makes sense to give this a go in the preseason, and then, you know, after, you know, those 4 weeks, turn the page and see where you're at. But, you know, like I said, the NFL has always moved forward on these things. And I think the mechanics of it are what really concern them. And, you know, of course, the unintended consequences they'll tell you exist.
Albert Breer, our guest, senior NFL reporter from Monday Morning Quarterback. I'm Rick Ballew. We go to 9 o'clock tonight on 92.5 FM and 1010 XL. All right, a lot of Bob Kraft rumors have been kicking around today. What's the latest there?
Well, I mean, until we have, you know, adjudication, I don't think we're going to hear from him. At least his lawyers have advised him not to talk. And I think that the coming out with the statement the other day was sort of the compromise in this case. And, you know, I do think that this is going to be something that other owners are going to be. Are going to feel strongly about. You know, what I have heard from some other teams is that Roger can't afford not to suspend him. Robert's going to push back against that, I can tell you that. And, you know, I think part of the reason why is he understands it doesn't matter if it's a one-game suspension or a 10-game suspension, him not being there on opening night is going to give this story new life, you
mm-hmm.
know, and so he'll have to live this for another few months. I think everything's still, you know, up in the air right now. I would just tell you that I think it's unlikely that the Kraft be found in this without some sort of discipline from the league. And again, we've seen in the past in the cases of players where the league doesn't need a conviction to move on someone. I personally think there's a good chance this case gets dismissed, but I don't think that'll have a huge impact on whether or not they decide to discipline him. I do think that's probably coming either way.
Albert Breer joining us live from the owners' meetings in Phoenix. I really enjoyed the piece you wrote recently on Doug Marrone. We had a chance to meet with him as well when Nick Foles was introduced. It's a lengthy piece, but it really expresses what Marrone was thinking. Just in a nutshell, tell us what you got from Doug Marrone, and he sounded like a kid in a candy store, how excited he was to now be able to work with a quarterback like this.
Yeah, they did a ton of work. It's interesting, you know, he's best friends with Bill O'Brien. And if you want to roll the clock back 3 years, you remember part of the issue that O'Brien had with Spring and Osweiler in 2016 was the fact that they never really got a chance to meet him. And he felt like maybe the evaluation wasn't where it needed to be. And he felt like the decision, I think, quite frankly, wasn't all his. And, you know, obviously that went the way that it went. And I'd be surprised if those two had talked about it because Marone and the Jaguars were exhaustive with their research and turning over every rock they could. And it wasn't about the volume of people that they talked to. That's what I got from Doug. It's the quality of the conversation they had, people who knew him really well, and then actually spending real time talking to those people so they could really dig deep into who they were getting if they decided to sign him. So I know Doug felt good about the research that they'd done. Obviously, you can't talk to the guy, so that's something that's built in. It's a little different than drafting a quarterback, but they felt like when he walked in the room, they really knew who he was, you know? And so that part of it, I know they felt good about. And the other thing that I think is interesting here is just, I think there were tells that this was going to happen. First, I mean, of course, there's a hire, John DeFilippo, so you can line that up. That's pretty easy to do. But also, restructuring Marcell Dareus and picking up Calais Campbell's option, those are two older players. I think we all knew that there were going to be some decisions to be made from a cap standpoint in 2019. The fact that they sort of doubled down early on their core by doing those two things, I think told you they're going to need to find a quarterback who is going to be able to come in and perform without a huge acclimation period. And because of this familiarity with Flip's offense and because of the way that Foles has performed in big spots over the last 2 years, I know the Jaguars felt very comfortable that not only could he come in and make an impact, but he can actually be a leader as John DeFilippo puts the offense in.
And they're really lacking in that area. I mean, they have a ton of defensive leaders, but I mean, look at their captains last year. I mean, Bortles was one, Leonard Fournette was another, and, you know, on the line, Brandon Linder, but they're really lacking from the leadership on the offensive side.
Yeah, and you know, Foles is, what you'll find is Foles is a steady presence, and he's very comfortable in his own skin. I don't think he's going to be a yeller or a screamer. He's not that way. He's a little less demonstrative than Carson Wentz was before, you know, Wentz went down in both those situations over the last 2 years. But he's very, very level, and I think one of the things that people have been around him would say is he's really genuine. And that's a huge part of being a leader in one of these locker rooms is, you know, if you're not real, you really don't have much of a chance. And his personality, everything about him, the way he carries himself, the confidence, all that's real. And so I think that's going to resonate in the locker room. It's got a lot of big personalities in it.
Albert, thanks as always. I know I'll talk with you again down the road. I appreciate a few moments of your time tonight.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it.
There he goes. Albert Breer joining us live from the owners' meetings in Phoenix, senior reporter for Monday Morning Quarterback, also on the Sports Hub out of Boston. All right, when we do return, let's shift our attention to the NCAA. Florida State in the Sweet 16. We'll talk of one of the greatest who ever played for the Garnet and Gold. Bob Surra joins Rick Ballew next, Into the Night.
Another steal on the back door. Forrest ahead to Bissell. Terrence Mann, the boat rocker, gives Florida State a 14-point edge on the Racers.
All right, what's there not to love about the kid from Boston? How cool has he been so far in the NCAA tournament? Really a steady force for Florida State during his 4 years. Of course, I'm talking about Terrence Mann, one of five seniors on this Florida State roster. Unfortunately, two are out with injuries. And the Phil Kofer story is a sad one. If you did not hear, he just lost his dad. It was announced while they were in Hartford, both Thursday and Saturday. His foot is in a boot. The fifth-year seniors lost a lot of playing time anyway. He wasn't going to be able to give it a go, and he will not play in this tournament, regardless of how far Florida State goes. But he was told after that victory that his dad had passed. And then David Nichols, who played his college basketball at Almaty and transferred this year, also had a lower body injury. So they were now two of their five seniors, but certainly played a very good basketball game against Murray State in what I would term a stress-free victory. And you take them whenever you can get them. during this run through the NCAA tournament, because the game on Thursday was not the case against Vermont, where they allowed 16 three-point shots. It was a very ugly game, at least in the first 20 minutes of play in the first half, but they just looked like they were truly one of the better teams in all of college basketball when they got it done against Murray State. So Thursday night, 7:09, next up, Gonzaga, same team they faced a year ago and comfortably knocked them off 75-60 a year ago. Gonzaga is a number one seed, and that'll be the responsibility for Florida State coming up on Thursday night. We're tracking our friend Bob Serra. It is his birthday, so he's a busy man, but I did get with him earlier today, and we will hopefully have him on the program in a couple of moments. At least that is the game plan. You know, just kind of looking around and seeing what's happening right now during this NCAA tournament and kind of reliving what happened yesterday with Duke, and do they get calls? Did they get calls? Have they earned calls? I think in that case, I would say yes for all three. And I think you can honestly make that point. I'll never forget 5-6 years ago when Alabama played Notre Dame. I made a huge deal that day on the radio coming out saying that you watch early on tonight, in the very first quarter, there'll be a debatable call and it will go the way of Nick Saban, that he is intimidated throughout the years and he is so good at what he does as far as his craft, he is going to get a call. And Nick Saban and Alabama get calls. Well, I think Coach K and Duke get calls. Now, the bucket did stand for the University of Central Florida. Whether or not it hit the rim, if I was to bring in 100 listeners right now, 50 would say it did, 50 will say it did not. But I thought the Zion Williamson call and the foul there was an unfortunate one. I wonder if that was the benefit to the best player right now in college basketball. Taco drew the foul. But I think the best way to ask that question would simply be this. If that had been reversed and Taco was going to the hole and Zion Williamson held the ground, would the same thing have been called, or would Taco fall would have been hit with the offensive foul? Both had four, and of course the cost Taco fouled the game. I thought he held his ground. I heard a lot about the push-off after the missed free throw, and you know, you can make the case that if Fall doesn't fall out, he gets that rebound. Instead, what Barrett does, gets the pushback, makes the bucket, Duke survives, Coach K gets it done over Johnny Dawkins, very emotional after the basketball game. I picked Duke to win the national title, not exactly going out on a limb. But I think if you really search and go through the years, a lot of teams, this is how they win national championships. They do it with a scare, at least at one particular point. And this certainly did happen for Duke in that basketball game yesterday. Williamson had 32 and, you know, really is creating his legacy right in front of us. I think overall this tournament, I don't want to say boring. I don't know what word I'm looking for, but I just hope that the best basketball is still ahead of us. And I know that there have been some upsets. You know, certainly you look at what Murray State did. You look at what Irvine did and a couple of these other schools have done. It's a nice story, but, you know, we just haven't seen a ton of buzzer beaters. We haven't seen some major mistakes and some things that, you know, questionable coaching situations. Obviously, Tennessee being the exception of the rule. I mean, how do you blow a 25-point lead and then you get it done in overtime against Iowa? I'm not sure. But I think for the most part, this tournament has gone basically the way that I thought it would, and that's probably why I have 13 of my 16 teams still remaining. LeVay's got 14 of his 16, and really the only situation that I'm looking at that I really missed was Iowa State. I have a chance to put 7 of the 8 into the Final Four. I have Duke over Va Tech. You know, I have Michigan State over LSU. I thought the games here were fantastic. Congratulations to everyone associated with the NCAA tournament right here in Jacksonville. The attendance was up. The games were great, especially the weekend games. And I know they have to be thrilled about that. But, you know, if you look at them in order on Thursday, Florida State against Gonzaga. I have Gonzaga winning. I'm looking at my bracket. Purdue and Tennessee, got them both in, have Tennessee. Texas Tech and Michigan, I have both in there. I have Michigan bowing out to Texas Tech. I have Texas Tech going all the way to the Final Four. I do not have Oregon. I had Kansas State in that game, but I have Virginia winning. So, you know, I'm all good with that. Again, LSU, Michigan State. I have Michigan State advancing. Auburn, North Carolina. I have UNC advancing. Va Tech, Duke. I have Duke advancing. And then Houston and Kentucky. That is where the mistake for me really came into play. I had Iowa State over Kentucky in this matchup and Iowa State advancing. So if I eliminate the Cyclones, it would have been a pretty clean bracket for me. How about you? Any major misses for you that you're going to get hit here in the Elite Eight?
Nothing really major. Trying to look at here. I had Iowa State go into the Elite Eight, but other than that, nothing that's overly concerning to me. I did have Wisconsin also going to the Elite Eight, and they lost first round, so that's a bummer for me. But, I mean, other than those two, I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, we will chase down Bob Serta. Hopefully we'll have that in our second hour. We'll talk some Seminole hoops with him. I do want to take some phone calls in this hour. You just heard what Albert Breer had to say, both about Doug Marrone and just his anticipation of Nick Foles. And, you know, to hear it from Albert Breer from a national writer's perspective, does that affect anything the way that you feel? And what about this whole eye in the sky? Again, it's very comparable to me to the college football playoff. Okay? It makes so much sense. Yet we don't have it. And, of course, I am aware of the fact that that obviously I gotta share some McManus stuff. I'm going to wait until 8 o'clock. I tweeted out something about a hockey fight. I'll save this for 8 because I think you'll like this. I'll make you wait. It's called the Radio Tease. But it's pretty good. It's blowing up right now on social media. But anyway, I'll save it for that because it's worth it to begin the 8 o'clock hour. But the eye in the sky, to me, is comparable to a college football playoff. And I'm not talking about a four-teamer. And we should have an 8 or a 16-team college football playoff right now. I still can't believe some of you people out there actually said we don't need more than a four-team college football playoff because you based it on this year's semifinal. I mean, that's just so stupid. It really is. You can't base everything on what's going on at this exact moment. Did you not watch Oklahoma-Georgia a year ago in the semifinal? So you can't do that, but you are. And interesting enough, you know, the eye in the sky makes so much sense that you could actually have that and put that into play in college football this year. But as Albert Breer said, that's probably going to take some time. All right, we'll come back in our second hour. Hopefully we'll have our good friend Bob Serra who will join us. We'll also grab some phone calls, 641-1010. Before we get to the top of the hour break, update us on tonight's Exit Real Estate Gallery question of the night.
Yeah, Rick, we put it out there on Twitter with the announcement of Rob Gronkowski's retirement. Where do you see him 6 months from now? Very interesting question. We put 42% say that they think he joins the WWE. 24% say they think he pursues a career in acting. 23% thinks he returns to the NFL. And only 11% thinks he has a career in broadcasting.
All right, tonight's show brought to you by our good friends as well over at Remedy. They have really some tremendous jobs and some situations that you can be a part of right now, both from a full and part-time position. The Remedy Workforce Specialists are now hiring local delivery drivers. That's through a pro drivers team. Class A, Class B, non-CDL drivers. Just give Tara a phone call. That's 224-1400. 224-1400. The very latest right there. All right, we got a lot to do tonight. It's only 8 o'clock. We got an entire second hour. We get things rolling right here into the night with Rick Balloon.
Into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That's good to have you back with us. Hour number two, we go to 9 tonight. James Coleman is gone. I saw that on a tweet earlier today. Denny Thompson. Got a special guest joining him as well. Kevin Sullivan. Coming in tonight. That'll be at 9 o'clock. Look forward to listening to those two gentlemen. All right, a lot of, a lot of people just angry and complaining and, that's kind of the way of life. Was really kind of bothered last week by the uproar on Tom Izzo. I just don't get it. I think tough coaching is gone by the wayside. Only a few do it anymore. And I understand that things change all the time and that we have to be far more passive nowadays. But if a guy uses that as his forte, I saw Rick Barnes push a player. I noticed there was very little pushback there. Because they didn't want to get a technical foul. I'm surprised that those people were not complaining. Maybe that didn't make the rounds on TV. I think most of these people who complain don't settle in and watch the game. They get it on a loop somewhere. They get it on Twitter. And that's where they make up their minds. But, it kind of got me thinking. And I'd like to put those people who complain about Tom Izzo really in the same category of anything outside of Robert Kraft giving up ownership of the New England Patriots will be unsatisfactory to you. I would also believe that you are the same people who would tell us that you should not play baseball in October because it's too cold. I think you are the same people that would probably try to completely get rid of fighting in the National Hockey League because there may be a boo-boo on the opponent's face. Not knowing that that is part of the game and that is the way that you police the game. You know, one of the biggest mistakes the National Hockey League ever made was eliminating the instigator, creating an extra 2 minutes for the instigator, taking away two-on-ones and three-on-twos, and even to some extent, bench-clearing brawls. You know why? Because when they used to fight that way back in the NHL, two things happened. Number one, you didn't take shots at superstars. That happens today all the time. If you see Sidney Crosby or Brad Marchand or any one of the great young stars, Matthews in the game right now, you can make a run at this guy and hurt him and not worry about the other side because there's going to be no retaliation. Secondly, when you had the big scrums and the huge fights back in the days of the Broad Street Bullies and the Big Bad Bruins and what have you, there was never stick work. There was never any cheap shots. The fights took place with the fists and with the fists only. Now you have guys carving up one another using their sticks because fighting has been, for the most part, eliminated in the National Hockey League. So people complained. They wanted to make the game safer, In my opinion, they have made the game more dangerous. I honestly feel that way. That the National Hockey League today is more dangerous than it was during its barroom 1960s and 70s edition. They all put helmets on. Okay, you want to eliminate that rule, and that's one that I accepted. Okay, I thought that actually hurt them because it looks a little bit robotic. You know, a lot of these hockey players are kind of like PGA Tour players. Same size, same shape, and they're tough to tell apart from one another when they're all wearing helmets. Back in the days when they had long hair, or they were bald, or had red hair, or something crazy. I mean, you could identify. You knew who was who. Not today. And we have brought in this finesse style of hockey. You're going to bring in those from Sweden. Well, guess what? They don't hit. You're going to bring in those from Finland. They don't hit. You're going to bring in from Russia. They don't hit. See, now you have the finesse style of the National Hockey League. I just, you need to be careful with what you wish for. And I know I'm talking to a very, 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 very small group right now when it comes to hockey. That's why I'm going to get off it. But I think the biggest mistake hockey ever made was leaving ESPN. I mean, what a tragedy for that sport. Because ESPN did a great job pumping up the National Hockey League. A colossal mistake by Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the National Hockey League. Number two mistake they ever made was the way they changed the rules as far as fighting. They never should have done that. They should have allowed these guys to police themselves. Now they've taken that out of the game. But that's what you're going to get. That's soft America. Every year you get a couple of columns. You'll see it in October. Oh, we shouldn't have these baseball games now in October. It's too cold. They've been doing it for more than 100 years. You notice no one, and you know, the complaint very rarely is mentioned in the month of April. When you have Major League Baseball kicking off, and you have some of these really cold games, people are so excited that baseball is back that in these baseball cities, the fans go to the games, the players play in the games, and you don't hear a lot of complaints, even though it's game three, game four out of 162. But for some reason, you get to the greatest stage of all, and you get into playoff baseball in October. And the pennant races are winding down. You're going through the wild card round and then the divisional round and then the championship round, or the wild card games, I should say. And again, you're going to have some columnists write, oh, they shouldn't play baseball. It shouldn't happen in the month of October. I'm going to put those who get on Tom Izzo and tough coaching in the same category. You're trying to change the way things always have been. And it's because you're soft, you think you should change the way others are. And tough coaching is part of the way that we have always seen things. Tom Izzo's not Bob Knight here. He's not a bully. He's not headbutting and throwing chairs and taking out whips and grabbing toilet paper and doing you know what and showing it to his team. He's not doing it. He's getting in a guy's face. Because his effort was far less than 100%. And he was coaching him up. And if the player doesn't mind it, I don't understand the outcry that many people in the general public have with this. It really just kind of threw me into a situation where I just couldn't believe it. I mean, you're talking about one of the most decorated coaches right now in all of sports in general, not just college basketball. In sports in general, Tom Izzo's that good. And to see the amount of crap that he received, I mean, are you kidding me? Did you see what Jimbo Fisher did this year when he grabbed the guy's face? Man, I didn't hear anything on that with Jimbo Fisher. You know, people get on Nick Saban every once in a while when he gets angry. Did you ever see what Mike Ditka used to do? Did you ever see what Buddy Ryan used to do? Maybe that's the key there. Used to do. Nowadays, I just don't know what it is. And you know, I kind of gave you that rant Friday night, and I'm not going to go through it again tonight. I don't blame the kids. I blame the parenting. Okay? The parents softened up for the kids. You can't blame the kids. They get away with it. They're being told that, you know, he's too hard on you. And I hate it. I love that type of coaching. I love watching that type of coaching. I mean, do you remember what it was like around here if you were lucky enough to be at those early training camp days with Tom Coughlin? Back when they did have a traditional double session? Those aren't even allowed anymore because of the collective bargaining agreement. Back when you truly did have very difficult practices, morning and late afternoon. And it still happens with those guys. Even today, with all the rule changes, if you don't think these coaches get on their players, man, you are crazy. So is that next? You see Tom Izzo, and the whole world sees it. So those who just like to complain do that. But what about during practice? I mean, there are coaches, assistants, both former and still a few around, who do that. You know, Bobby Bowden never did it, but the late Wayne McDuffie certainly did. Holy smokes, Wayne McDuffie. I'll tell you a story about when John Brown took off his helmet and threw it at him. Chased him. They thought he was going to kill him. Chuck Amato, Mickey Andrews. I'm sure there's the same stories over in Gainesville and the same stories in Athens. I mean, that's part of coaching, but just because it's not on TV and you don't see it, you just can't pinpoint Tom Izzo is the bad guy. This stuff happens all the time. It happens in high school. It happens in college. And it happens in the pros. I just don't understand the pushback. And it's very disappointing. It really is. I think a lot of these kids really want to be coached. They really need that in them. Now, he chose them. Henry chose to play for Izzo. And Izzo's making him a better player. So if he doesn't have a problem with it, why do you? And I'm not talking to all of you, but there is a percentage of you out there that really have a huge issue with this. And I don't know what to tell you, but it's certainly gotten a lot softer. And I have no problem with Tom Izzo did whatsoever. All right, news and notes are coming up. It's brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. We'll do that on the other side. Before we get there, Matt LaVey, give us the very latest. The question of the night is brought to you by Exit Real Estate Gallery.
Yeah, Rick, we put it out there with the announcement of Rob Gronkowski's retirement. Where do you see him 6 months from now? Now, we give you four options. 42% say they think he joins the WWE. 32% say he returns to the NFL. 10% going with broadcasting. And 26% say acting.
I wonder what Gronk could do. I mean, who would he be? Jason Statham? Is he an Arnold Schwarzenegger? Is he a Rock? The Rock's like the highest paid actor right now in Hollywood, right up there with like what? Robert Downey Jr.? I'm told Robert Downey Jr. got $40 million for that latest Avengers film. $40 million. I don't know if Gronk's got it to be an actor. Unless he was just he's playing himself as an actor. Easier said than done. Anyway, you want to respond to that, you can. Blue1010XL. Just grab us on Twitter. All right, we got much more to get into, but let's get to our news and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. That's coming up next.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You know, I listen to Led Zeppelin and I think of Hammer of the Gods, probably one of the all-time greatest rock and roll books that I ever read. Legendary. And the debauchery is worthy of permanent jail time. for some members of Led Zeppelin, if all the stories they wrote about are true. They're very graphic in nature. And I'll tell you to read the book. Love the band.
I've never been to a jail.
Love the band. One of my all-time, but I can't believe some of the things I wrote about. But it gets me to, you know, long ago I read the Nikki Sixx book from Motley Crue. And I was never really a Motley Crue fan. I was not in the 80s. And I saw them when it came through Jacksonville here in 2015 on their final tour. And I thought it was an enjoyable show. And they came right here to the arena. But after the games, I don't remember these nights all run together for me. I don't remember if it was Friday night or Saturday night. But I stayed up and watched Dirt, the new movie on Motley Crue. And I came away with it with a couple of questions. Number one, the women that these rock stars get, I can't imagine what that life must be like. I mean, women just literally throwing themselves at you. And don't get me wrong, I think that's a great thing. I think that's a beautiful thing. But I always wondered about tearing up hotel rooms. And maybe that's just a rock and roll thing. But have you ever been anywhere where you've had the need to vandalize? I always wonder about vandalism. Like, there are certain cities that'll win a championship, and they celebrate by ruining their city. I remember when the Lakers won in Staples Center, and I remember having Bob Costas on after he caught the game. He was trapped inside the Staples Center. This was during the Kobe Shaq era. And I had him on when I was working nights out of Chicago. But I've never been able to understand that. But we're rock stars, and I know their intake for drugs are obscene. But why trash hotel rooms? Why throw TVs out of hotel rooms? And again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you right from wrong. It's obviously wrong. But why that? And number two, the drug use that'll get you to the point where you may flatline. I mean, you're going to become the crime scene. You're going to be DOA. Nikki Sixx swears that he actually died at one point in his life. Now, I know that an addict is an addict. And whether you're a gambler, whether you're a cheater, and I'm talking about whether you cheat on your diet, whether you cheat on your taxes, you cheat on anything. You're an alcoholic, you're a drug addict. But you look at these successful rockers, and I'm watching Dirt on Motley Crue. They started from nothing. I mean, combined, I don't think any of them had a high school education. They don't eat. All they do is drink and do drugs. And before you know it, they've got millions and millions and millions and millions and millions. They've got all the ladies that anyone could ever want. But they all almost end up killing themselves because of drug use. I understand that that's rock and roll. But just a couple of things. I liked the show. I thought it was good. It's on Netflix. The movie's out. They really made Tommy Lee sound like he's like the nicest guy in the world. And it seems like every time I hear about Tommy Lee, it's some sort of horror story, including recently. I mean, when he just got in a fight with one of his kids, and he's trying to fight Kid Rock. And all. In the movie, they make him seem like he's like the gentle, fun one of the bunch. You know, the dark side really comes from Nikki Sixx and Mick Mars and, you know, the lead singer. Like, I can't even think of his name right now. Blonde-headed dude with Motley Crue. The guy who, you know, was so wasted, he kills someone in a car and he gets 30 days in jail. I say to you guys all the time when I talk about Miller Lite or Jameson, if you're drinking, call Uber. And I know that was a different time and a different era. But can you imagine someone driving? Vince Neil is his name. Can you imagine driving and killing the passenger next to you and ruining his life and getting 30 days? What? Anyway, enjoy. Just a little bit of rock and roll for you because I am a rock and roll guy. But I do like the latest Netflix that is out. And I guess they're all coming out now. Well, we just had Queen. Now we have Motley Crue. Now Elton John is coming out with one. So all of these rock bands are coming out with either a documentary or a movie on their career. All right, let's get to Truth Teller News and Notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. I just mentioned DUIs and accidents. TruckCrashLaw.com. If you're aware of something that happened like that, where someone was seriously injured, maybe they were even killed, and you're dealing with heartbreak, you're trying to put the lives back together, you need to get the best representation for those people. And the best thing to do right now is go to truckcrashlaw.com. If you are out on the road, someone was injured by a tractor trailer, a truck, an RV, a bus, they're the only law firm in the state of Florida where this is what they do. This is their expertise. Go to truckcrashlaw.com, the only one in the state of Florida that's based right here in Jacksonville. All right, Albert Breer joined us moments ago. The eye in the sky is picking up some traction at the NFL's owners' meetings. Breer joined us about an hour and 10 minutes or so ago. He said he does not think it'll be put in place this year, but it's far better news than what we heard last year coming out of the NFL competition committee. The owners are pushing back. Breer also said he heard from 19 NFL head coaches who he texted, and out of the folks who got back to him, all but two were in favor of immediately putting the eye in the sky into effect in the NFL. It's about getting it right. Albert Breer also talked to me about the length of the game. Again, I almost never see any complaints from anyone out there listening in the world of college or professional football when it comes to the length of the game. I've just never heard that argument. So we'll keep our eyes and ears on that. Some really foolish onside kick talk that I'll save for tomorrow. It just baffles me that the NFL is actually considering doing something along this, these particular lines. It really screams of the possibility, of arena football. And the NFL is so talented. The NFL doesn't need to add playoff teams. They don't need to become the NHL. They don't need to become the NBA. I shouldn't say they're so talented. They're so far ahead of everyone else as far as ratings and revenue and just the overall thought about why they're ahead of everyone else. Why would you make rule changes to make you like someone else? And with this new onside kick rule they're talking about, instead of implementing a 4th and 15, what? I mean, come on. Be serious. I'm going to actually say this for tomorrow. I have a little bit more time to discuss. The NFL announced Bears-Packers will kick off the 2019 season. That'll be on Thursday night, September 5th. In year 100, it'll be the 199th meeting between the Bears and the Packers. So some good news there. Also, if you have not heard, Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement yesterday, although Drew Rosenhaus's agent, interestingly enough, made it seem like don't bet on it, that he may never not return. I think the thinking is that there could be an opportunity for him to come back at some point. College football, two Georgia players arrested in a bar fight. It's only common. Tyreek Stevenson, freshman corner. Tyler Simmons. Kids are going to fight. Stadium steps for these two Bulldogs. Just hate the fact that it happened on campus or on a campus bar. But again, I don't know the ins and outs and what exactly did take place, but it's very common. Always has been, and it has happened now with Georgia. Anton Clayton Jr. is transferring from the University of Florida. I think they've done a nice job for the most part since Dan Mullen has come in of being able to hang on to their players. Florida has been a victim the last two seasons of losing juniors early to the NFL draft, but that's always a positive thing. You just look at some other schools like Miami and certainly Florida State and some of the players that have left those two programs really during the end of the Mark era. The Mark Richt era, and what has happened now since Willie Taggart has been there. A ton of players have left both those schools. But Florida, for the most part, has done a decent job. Now Anton Clayton is leaving the program. All right, games that will get underway beginning on Thursday night. It all starts with Florida State-Gonzaga. Florida State, a 7.5-point dog. That'll be at 7:09 on CBS. Purdue and Tennessee will take place at 7:29 in Kentucky. That game for Florida State and Gonzaga is in Anaheim, oh, by the way, at the Honda Center. Tennessee's favored by a point. Later that evening, back in Anaheim, Texas Tech and Michigan, Wolverines favored by two. And then Oregon and Virginia will be the late-night game beginning at 10 o'clock. Oregon, a 12 seed. Virginia favored by 8.5 points in that matchup. Friday, your four games begin with LSU and Michigan State. Michigan State favored by 6. That'll be in D.C. at the Capital One Arena. Auburn and North Carolina, the Tar Heels favored by 5. That's from Kansas City, Missouri. Late night in D.C. will be Duke and Va Tech. Duke favored by 7.5. And we'll close out college basketball before the weekend with a 3 seed and Houston against number 2 Kentucky in Kansas City, Missouri. Kentucky favored by 2.5 points. Some really good ball games getting set to get underway both Thursday and Friday night. And as always, we will keep you updated with those games right here in progress, particularly that Florida State Gonzaga ball game. Last year, the two met, and Florida State was nearly flawless in that matchup, winning it 75-60. We'll see what ends up when these two teams meet coming up on Thursday night. All right, the very latest, Phil Kofler will not play for the Noles. He is out with the foot, and, you know, his dad passed. Very sad story. We don't know about David Nichols. We'll see what happens there. It was very interesting to see what happened with Florida State over the weekend. I mean, they got everyone involved in this basketball game. But who was the kid who came off the bench? It was the Wilkes kid. It was Wyatt Wilkes. It was D'ing up. He hit a three where, I mean, I'm not even lying here. He looked like Larry Bird when he got rid of the shot with, like, zero time left on the shot clock. Polite's kid got some action. They put in all the walk-ons very late in the basketball game. But Raekwon Gray, his second consecutive start. Terrence Mann was a beast. Cabin Gelly was huge off the bench. I think Florida State had 44 points off the bench. I mean, you can really say right now that Leonard Hamilton has the best bench in college basketball. Most teams shorten their bench. Florida shortened their bench. It came to their aid in their opening game victory. You know, they lost in round two. But teams shorten their bench. They usually go to about 8 players. That's typically the number. 7.5, 8 players. And what I mean by that is that 8th guy will give you far less than 10 minutes. Maybe you bring him in a little bit defensively or to even create a foul. Florida State's been staying with 12 guys. I mean, it's just amazing. And in the game on Saturday, they had 10 who played in double figures as far as minutes. Some minutes were taken away. As I said, they put in 5 guys off the bench, walk-ons, very late in that game. There you have it. News and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. They are the only law firm in the state of Florida where if someone has been injured, even if unfortunately it was fatal, and it is so difficult right now for them, make sure they're aware that there is a law firm out there like truckcrashlaw.com where if someone was hurt out on the road, and it was by a tractor trailer, a truck, an RV, a bus, or anything like that, this is their expertise. Great people, and you need to be aware of, in fact, what they do. And the best way to reach them is to go to truckcrashlaw.com. All right, when I do return, let's get to Doug Marrone. He said something very interesting today as well on Sirius NFL Radio that I think will make Jaguar fans excited about April 15th. If you do not know, that is day one when the organized team activities do begin for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, you know, the league season began this month in March, but with the new CBA and the way things change, you can officially bring in players and bring in your team and begin with off-season workouts That is right around the corner. That is only 20 days away. So a good quote today by Doug Marrone. We'll share that with you. Coming up, Into the Night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, did you hear about the first time ever now a bracket called Center Road? Which, do people name their brackets now? With, like, aliases and... You do? What's your name?
Mine was Will Wade's Bagman.
Thought we only named boats that way, maybe putters.
It's basically become like fantasy football. Like, every single fantasy football team that you have has to have a great name, and that's what the brackets have come to as well.
Everything comes in threes. Mistresses as well have a name. But I didn't understand, and I'm learning from you. I'm learning from the younger generation. Center Road is 48 of 48 right now. I mean, think about that. If you look at some of the early first-round matchups, the odds of going 48 straight is, well, I don't even know how it is, mathematically speaking. So I'll just read it this way. 281, 474, 976, 710, 656 in one. Those are the odds. To go 48 of 48. I would actually think your hardest work is done. I think, you mean, honestly, if you were to now be forced to pick the four games Thursday night, the four games Friday night, the game Saturday and Sunday, and then the final four night, I think you'd have a much better shot of getting these games now right and correct than you would saying that Murray State's going to knock off Marquette, although LeVay, you had that game. To come out and say UC Irvine is going to win in the first round the way that they have, or that Oregon would advance that the way that they have. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be I think it's easier now. I guess the point I'm trying to make, if you told me that you could get every game right now the rest of the tournament beginning with Thursday night, I'd believe that. I have a very, very tough time believing that anyone in the world could go 48 for 48 so far. And it's the first time that it has ever happened reportedly in the history of the NCAA tournament ever since they have been grading this.
I'm looking at an Action Network article, Rick, that says if each of those 48 games were a coin flip, it would be a $1 in $282 trillion odds.
All right, so it's $282
trillion. $1 in $282 trillion are the odds for that. That's if each game was a coin flip. Now, obviously, though, you got a percentages of, you know, a 16 beating a 1, but if each were a coin flip, it's $1 in $282
trillion. Now, because I read the number out earlier, it's... I mean, I guess I learned about it way back when, but when you get to stuff like, you know, when you get through the billions and you get the trillions, I don't even know, mathematically speaking. So $282 trillion. Yeah. All right. Doug Marrone said this earlier today on Sirius Radio. And, you know, I think this is interesting. He said today on SiriusXM NFL that, you know, he's obviously excited for some football, but he made this quote: when our players come back to the building on April 15th, Nick Foles is going to know more about the offense than any other player. We want everyone trying to catch up with Nick. That's quote, you know, end of quote from Doug Marrone. And it goes back to what Marrone said during the NFL Combine. And I was trying to fish for perhaps... you know, maybe a little bit of gamesmanship and something being thrown out there that, yeah, let's let everyone think that they're interested in a veteran quarterback, but they're really going to pull the trigger on a draft pick. No, he showed his true colors there in February, and he showed his true colors when we met with him when Nick Foles was introduced. And now he continues to do that going on Sirius XM NFL radio. But we have to stop right there for a second. Because what does this mean? If Nick Foles, I mean, right now, wouldn't Leonard Fournette know more about this offense? Wouldn't Brandon Linder know more about this offense? Wouldn't Cam Robinson know more about this offense? AJ Cann know more about this offense? Westbrook, Marquise Lee, O'Shaughnessy, on and on. Wouldn't they know more about this offense? Or do you read into it this way? There really are considerable changes coming to the way that this offense is going to be run under offensive coordinator John DeFilippo. Now, Tom Coughlin, when we asked him, he said the change in philosophy on this offense is not going to change. Everything changes with new personnel. I get that. A new quarterback, a new offensive coordinator. So there are going to be changes. But reading this quote, which way do you take it? That way? Or what I expressed a little bit earlier? Because if they're running any offense that's similar to what they've been running the last couple of years, all those other players should have far more knowledge to this offense. Blake Bortles was always a constant when it came to this. He would make the statement, I want to know this offense better than anyone in this building. And he used to say, including Nate, when Nate Hackett was the offensive coordinator. So now here comes John DeFilippo, and there will be some offensive changes, but apparently it's going to be catch-up for everyone else on the Jacksonville Jaguars catching up to Nick Foles. I think you got to love this message. You got to love the fact that the head coach is expressing this message. I think it's a positive. And I'm going to read into it the latter part of what I said. I think changes are coming. I think changes in the way that this offense is going to be set. Obviously, you got to believe it's going to be a heavy tight end style of offense. You know, right now you can really make that case that their tight end is not part of this football team. And I understand they brought in Jeff Swaim. And I understand they brought back James O'Shaughnessy. I happen to be one who hopes that in 30 days, you know, they go out and they get T.J. Hockenson. But I think that's a very telling quote. And it does make me wonder just a little bit. And you know, listen, I'm a constant who reads into things. It maybe tries to take it to some areas that they don't necessarily always are. Like, for instance, as I told you a minute ago, when Marone made those comments at the NFL Combine, he had me fooled. I thought he really was throwing something out there to make us think, and I wondered if it was necessarily the truth. It was dead on the truth. It was 100% the truth. So anyway, interesting stuff there. That is from Doug Marone a little bit earlier today on Sirius XM NFL Radio. All right, what do you got for us, LeVay? Tonight's question of the night. It is brought to you by our good friends over at Exit Real Estate Gallery. What do you have?
Yeah, Rick, we put it out there earlier with the announcement of Rob Gronkowski's retirement. Where do you see him 6 months from now? 41% say they see him joining the WWE. 25% say they see him pursuing a career in acting. 22% say they think he returns to play in the NFL again. And just 12% say they think he has a career in broadcasting.
Yeah, Tony Khan's got his brand new wrestling league that is coming into play as well. So maybe they'll make a run at a guy like Gronk, who would obviously have to be a face. I mean, he's a likable guy, even by people who hate the Patriots. I think for the most part, they really do like Rob Gronkowski. So, you know, Tony Khan has got his brand new wrestling, the AEW. Maybe that is where Rob Gronkowski ends up.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
All right, Denny Thompson is here. It is time for the Sports Den. What's going on?
We got a fill-in.
I know. I was talking about him earlier.
Oh, were you? Yeah, I mean, James leaves, and I mean, I just go get a Hall of Famer.
No notice. James has said, out of here.
I knew. But, you know, you can't grab people like Kevin Sullivan, the great coach.
Right.
You know, on peanuts.
So no.
We had to reach into the pockets to bring Kevin Sullivan.
Well, I'm looking forward to listening on the way home. Kevin Sullivan knows an awful lot about the game. So
it's interesting.
I imagine
he's here, and we were just talking about what we're going to go through. And, you know, we don't do a whole lot of show prep. But the interesting thing about Kevin Sullivan is I think he can add, from what he was just telling me, a unique perspective into this Nick Foles. How does he fit, and what does it ultimately mean for the Jags? So we're going to spend a bunch of time getting a true football coach's perspective on what is this whole thing going to look like at the end of the day.
Well, as I was just talking about, the quote that Doug Marone made today on Sirius XM Satellite Radio gets you thinking a little bit, that Nick Foles is going to know this offense better than anyone in the building in 20 days. I mean, how can he know this offense better when the offensive line, four-fifths of it, returns, your back is back, your receivers, a couple tight ends are back, unless he's making changes to that offense? That's what I'm taking from the quote.
I hope so. I mean, yeah. I hope that's what it means. I hope you didn't hire an offensive coordinator and bring in a completely different style quarterback to run the same thing.
Yeah.
If you did, I think you get similar results just with spirals.
Yeah. Well, that too. But, you know, you just – who do you believe? What do you believe? Tom Coughlin, we talked to them, you know, what was it, a week and a half ago, said that, you know, the philosophy of this offense is not going to change. Doesn't mean that the scheme won't change a little bit, that the offensive plays won't change a little bit.
It really is interesting. I mean, when you look at the roster, it really is interesting to come off a season like they did last year and talk yourself into that they're still in a window. But they are. There's enough talent there defensively that if they can hit one or two big plays a game,
yeah,
they can make a run.
I'm upset right now.
What are you mad about, man?
Bruins are losing 2-1 to the Tampa
Bay. Dadgummit Bruins. Who are they playing?
Tampa Bay.
Oh, I don't know.
Best team on this planet.
Tampa Bay is?
Tampa Bay is absolutely incredible. They already have like 120
points. 120
points? 120 points with like 7 games to go.
Well, you get like 2 for a win.
One for an overtime.
Or overtime?
Yeah, even overtime loss.
Do you lose points if you lose, or you just don't get
it? You don't get any.
So that's how hockey's stupid. I went to a Chicago Blackhawks game one time. A blast.
Old arena?
Yes.
Yeah.
This was
what year?
15 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
You know, something like that?
Back when I was living
snowing
there.
Snowing and freezing, and people were tailgating.
United Center.
And it was a blast.
Oh, I love it. To, you know, one of the original six, the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, I just have never gotten into watching it on TV.
Yeah.
It's kind of like NASCAR. I love to go to NASCAR. Just can't watch it on TV.
Yeah, I think if you know where the puck's going, you know a little bit about the game, and you know like where you can expect where the puck is supposed to go, I think if you learn it that way, it becomes that much more attractive. I love it. On HD, I love it. So I'll head on, listen to you guys, be able to catch that third period between the Bruins and the Lightning. Have a lot of fun tonight.
Awesome, we will.
All right, Denny Thompson coming up right now. That's going to do it for us. Matt LaVey, the producer of the program. Thank you to Albert Breer for joining us in our very first hour. Always good to talk with Albert Breer. And, you know, I like what we got out of Arizona. At least there's a little bit of steam that is picking up when it comes to what is being tossed around right now. Involved with the possibility of the eye in the sky in that eighth official in the National Football League. Maybe not this year, but as Albert Breer said, maybe as early as next year. Question of the night, you can still go to it, brought to you by Exit Real Estate Gallery. It's there on Twitter. Go to Blue1010XL with Gronkowski's retirement. What do you see him doing in 6 months? Right now, 41% say join the WWE, 25% acting, 22% returning to the NFL, 12% do say Jacksonville. So we appreciate everyone contributing to that. One other note, tonight's show was brought to you by our good friends over at Remedy. And as always, they have full and part-time positions available. But they do have a pro drivers team right now, hiring Class A, Class B, and non-CDL drivers right now. It's all part of the local delivery drivers in the Remedy Workforce Specialists. That's Remedy Workforce Specialists. So give them a call at 224-1400. That's 224-1400. Bobby Serta, we'll find out what happened to him tonight. He was a former FSU All-American and was their leading scorer when he hung it up. So we'll bring him on tomorrow on the program. And it'll be an interesting night where hopefully Florida State can get off the schneid. They've lost 9 straight to the Gators in baseball. That is not good. Matt LaVey produced it. My name is Rick Ballew. Remember, we push back to 8 on Tuesday. That's 8 to 10 every other night. We're with you from 7 to 9 right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.